Hello, welcome to the Travel Advice Show. Listen as travel experts Chris Newton and Jerry Fuller give advice on world destinations and discuss important travel topics that are valuable to any world traveler. Go to www.traveladviceshow.com where you can listen to this show and all previous shows, or even ask your travel questions. Now here are your hosts, Chris and Jerry.
Hi, welcome to the Travel Advice Show. Today is June 30th, 2008, and I'm Chris Newton, one of the co-hosts. I'd like to introduce my other co-host, Jerry Fuller. How you doing, Jerry?
Fantastic. How are you doing, Chris?
Oh, doing good. Doing good. Would you like to introduce our topic and our guest today, Jerry?
I would love to. We're really excited to have Nathaniel Waring, president of Cox and Kings USA, with us again, talking about a subject that is very mystical and exciting and kind of difficult to get to. That's Angel Falls. Welcome, Nathaniel. We're glad to have you back.
Well, very nice to be here, both of you, and look forward to chatting a bit about Angel Falls.
Yeah, it's great to have you back on, Nathaniel. Yeah.
Well, I know that not too long ago, you went to Angel Falls again. Well, went to Angel Falls. And I know many of our listeners would love to go. And it's kind of difficult to do it on your own, isn't it? I mean, would you want to ever do it on your own, just show up in the Caracas and then head off?
Well, it's actually, it's an interesting point you make. It's probably a little bit difficult to do it on your own, but it's also difficult to do it with a group.
Oh.
And the reason for that is that there aren't that many organized groups that plan ahead to go there, primarily because of the political instability in Venezuela, and generally tour companies are not promoting Venezuela with group departures. So having said that, unless you find sort of a one-off expedition type trip, it's hard to organize it with a group. Now, doing it by yourself doesn't mean that, you know, you're paddling your own canoe up the river to get to the Angel Falls, which, as you said at the beginning, Jerry, is quite remote and far away. So doing it alone can also mean arriving at the park headquarters and joining up with a group of several, four or five, up to eight or ten people to get together and go up the river in a canoe. But yeah, the way you really get to Angel Falls, it's located in the middle of a vast national park. It's Venezuela's second largest national park, but it's pretty big. Apparently it's bigger than Belgium.
Wow.
It's funny how Belgium always gets compared to parts of the Amazon. But it's a vast park, and there's essentially no roads to get to the park. So you fly into the park headquarters where the Capuchin missionaries some time ago built an airstrip. You can fly there from one of two cities in Venezuela. One is Ciudad Bolivar, which is sort of a quaint colonial small city. And the other is a very big city called Puerto Ordaz, which nobody has heard of. It's not even on maps because it's now called Ciudad Guyana. From there, you can take a smaller plane, a propeller plane. There's daily charters, and you can buy a seat in the charter, or you can charter the entire plane for $300 or $400 and fly into the national park as the gateway to going up to see the falls.
Let me ask this. When is the best, well, I guess there is the best time to go because you want to really see the water coming off the falls. When do you recommend going?
I recommend the fall, but pretty much the time you don't want to go is December through spring,
okay,
when it's drier and there's less water. Mm-hmm. Angel Falls, as well as dozens of other falls that, you know, when you look up at them, look almost as big, are, well, they originate from the flat top, Table Mountains, which are called Tepuis. And the falls only run if there's rain. It's amazing to think that much water is coming down off a flat-topped plateau simply because of rain. But it rains a lot in that part of Venezuela. And if you go there in the summer, and into the fall, the water levels are a lot higher. The other important thing for the water level is the only access to the base of the falls, unless you're getting dropped off by a helicopter, is to go up the river. And the river has to have enough water so you can navigate on an Indian dugout canoe. And that's a bit hard to do. You end up having to porter a lot if you do it in January, February, March, April.
Mm-hmm. And what month did you go? And did you really like that month, what you did again that month?
I went in September, late September, early October, and it was a fine time to see it. The other issue is, you know, you can't see Angel Falls. They're so high. If there's clouds, and there's clouds a lot, it rains pretty much every day. It is, you know, Amazon jungle. But at that time of year, you know, you have good chances of having some clearing, hopefully in the evening or in the morning. If you get there on a full moon and it's clear at night, it's amazing. You can see the water coming down, and it's so bright you can actually take a picture of it without a tripod.
Jeez.
Wow.
Is there places to stay near the falls, like in the park there, or do you have to kind of go, do you have to do like a day trip to go in, or?
Most people do a day trip. The park headquarters, Canaima National Park, which is it's called Camp Canaima, has a couple of lodges, some of which are pretty high standard. There's a lodge called Waku Lodge, you know, which has nice bungalows and a restaurant and cafeteria.
Yeah.
There are some simpler camps. One of the more well-known camps is called Jungle Rudy's, after this guy called Rudolph, who was there some 20 or 30 years ago and lived there and discovered some access to some other falls. So a lot of people who visit the falls will overnight at Camp Canaima and then take a full day trip, leaving quite early in the morning by canoe. It's about a 4-hour canoe ride up the river. It's actually a motorized canoe, and these canoes are amazing. They're about 40 feet long. You can fit two people on a bench squeezed in, so they're only about 3 feet wide. And you've got a Indian guide driver in the back, and they've got one of these 45 horsepower Yamaha engines. And there's another guy up in the front with a paddle. And they're able to go up the river, up rapids, up through water sometimes, which is only about 6 or 8 inches deep, and navigate a 40-foot-long boat with 12 people on it plus equipment. The ride is spectacular. So you can go up, leave early in the morning. You go up from the base of the river, where you get off the canoe. You've got a good hour, an hour and a half hike up a trail to the actual base of the falls. And then you can come back. So you can do it in a day trip. The way I did it is you can also do an overnight trip, and there is a camp on a little island on the river at the base of the falls called Isla Raton. I didn't see any rats on the island, but that's the name of it. And there's a thatch roofed open area where you can hang a hammock. And that's pretty much it. There is no other habitation within dozens and dozens of miles from that spot. So the only place to camp really is to hang a hammock. And then the advantage of that is you can see it in the evening, you can see it early in the morning, and the second afternoon, then you go back in your canoe.
All right. Let me ask this. You do recommend that overnight, first of all. It makes it much more worth it, does it?
I do. I mean, it's it's a hammock and just a simple dinner. No shower facilities. There is sort of a drop toilet by the camp. So it's very simple and basic, but I think it's very well worthwhile to do it. You have a hammock, you have a mosquito net over it. It's actually a bit chilly at night, so you need a light blanket over you. And it's well worth the experience to see the falls a bit longer.
To give a guesstimated cost from leaving, to the minute you leave Caracas, including the flight down, to either one of those two cities and everything else overnighting, do you know a guesstimated average cost so our listeners
can get the budget? Caracas to one of those two cities I mentioned, and then the smaller flight into the park, and let's say you did one night at the lodge at the park headquarters, a shared canoe ride, the camping, the hammock overnight meals, probably somewhere around $700 to $800 per person. And there's a couple of reasons why the pricing is vague. One is it depends, you know, what lodge you stay at. But the other reason also is the exchange rate in Venezuela, which I wanted to mention briefly. Officially, well, actually this year, that they took away 3 zeros from their currency. So the Bolivar, up until January, was about 2,000 Bolivars to a dollar. Now it's 2 Bolivars to a dollar.
Wow.
Having said that, the black market rate is about 6 Bolivars to the dollar. And it's quite interesting that in lots of countries where there is a big discrepancy between the official rate and the black market rate, if you do exchange at the black market rate, you can't really use black market exchange to buy tickets or hotel rooms because those types of companies require proof of official exchange, which the government wants to make sure to ensure their taxation and their earnings. In Venezuela, you can walk up to the airline ticket, and if you have bolivars, they don't care where you got them. You can buy a ticket. So a $100 ticket on the official exchange rate is actually $30 if you exchanged money in the black market.
Wow.
If you buy a trip ahead of time, you can't avail of that black market exchange rate. Having said that, it is illegal to exchange black market as it is in any country, but it's done a lot at the airports. So all of that adds to what we were talking about at the beginning, sort of the difficulties of planning a trip to Venezuela and then going to Venezuela. The other thing I found also is that all the flights are full all the time. Whether you book a month out or a day out, every single flight is always full. But when you actually get to the airport, there's always seats to be had. But you don't know that until the very last minute.
Right.
There's lots of equipment changes. There are a lot of different airlines flying within Venezuela. I counted 8 different airlines. I know, Jerry, you're interested in airlines, so that's a great place.
Oh, yes. One of my major hobbies is flying on different airlines, no matter how safe, no matter how big, no matter how small, no matter what. Yeah, I love it.
So Venezuela does, in general, and I haven't researched this exactly, does not seem to have the best safety record in terms of all these airlines.
So you have an exciting time.
Consideration.
An adventure area.
Well, let me ask another question that I think many of our listeners may want to know. If you take an organized trip, and I'm guessing, did you take an organized trip that you prearranged prior to arrival?
I kind of did half and half. I worked with a company in Caracas after I had arrived there to get together with a bunch of people at the park headquarters to go on the canoe ride overnight.
All right. And so what do you need to take with you if you're planning to go there? Do they furnish anything? Do you have to furnish extra things?
You could get away with bringing pretty much nothing other than, you know, your clothes and, you know, a rain jacket. It's never cold, but it can be wet. Rain jacket, you know, Tiva sandals, shorts, bug repellent, that kind of stuff, personal things. But you would be more comfortable if you were planning to do the hammock overnight if you brought, at the very least, one of those sleeping bag liners. They do provide you with blankets, but I feel more comfortable sleeping in a sleeping liner than it was mine. Maybe even a small travel pillow, some basic camping stuff. You're not going to be camping yourself. The other thing is to bring, you know, water bottles, which are not provided, and maybe some trail mix or snack food that you have for the hike up during the day. a lot to ride. But other than those types of things, you can pretty much get away with not bringing too much.
All right. And like water bottles, you mean, do they boil water for you, like for breakfast and dinner or something like that, or do you have to finish all of your water?
No, if you go with an organized canoe ride, which you have to, I mean, you can't, as I said, you can't row your own canoe, the outfitter will bring big tins or big plastic jugs of clean drinking water.
Okay.
It's not mineral water, so it's usually boiled river water, and it does taste a little funny. It's fine for coffee and spaghetti if you're having it by yourself. Then maybe you also want to bring some lemonade mix or Kool-Aid mix or something.
All right. Now, I know one thing that most people want to do. What about seeing the falls by air? You mentioned helicopter. What are the options of seeing it by air? And do you recommend that?
I highly recommend it, and it's easy to do. I think the best thing to do from Canaima headquarters, there's lots of little planes flying in, and you can book Angel Falls view flights. And it's about an hour, so it's like a 20-25 minute flight from the headquarters, and you circle the falls a couple times and fly back. And again, depending on how many people and the size of the plane, the cost of that is generally going to be about $100 or $150 per person.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the other way to do it, which is more fun and actually a bit more cost effective, is when you fly out, you include on your ticket a detour to see the falls.
Oh,
so when you're flying from Canaima headquarters back to Puerto Ordaz, and if the people in the plane want to do it, then the pilot will deviate and fly over Angel Falls, make two passes or so both sides of the plane can see it, and then continue on to Puerto Ordaz.
Oh, okay. That's good. Would you recommend, are there helicopter options?
There are helicopter options, but
okay.
That's suddenly a whole different price point. The helicopter options are in the thousands of dollars, not in the hundreds of dollars.
Oh, okay.
Because the helicopters are not based at Canaima, they have to fly in.
Mm-hmm.
When I was there, I actually saw somebody land at the base of Angel Falls.
Really?
It looked like a group of photographers who got off and spent 10 minutes looking at the base of the falls. And I should say, the really amazing thing about Angel Falls, it's the highest waterfall in the world. It falls 3,200 feet.
Jeez.
That's, twice the height of the tallest building in the world.
And do people actually go swimming at the base of it?
At the base of it, there's a large pool. I mean, by the time the water gets to the base, it's fallen over 800 meters, so it's pretty much a very, very heavy mist. But you can jump in and there's lots of boulders you can stand on and look up through the mist. At the very base of the falls, you can't see the top. It's the mist is too heavy. But if you stand back a bit, you can if it's clear. And it's just a spectacular spot. You're surrounded by jungle. There's actually, from the base of it, it then continues down quite far in a very sharply dropping river down to the main river.
So the minimum time that it would take, so in your itinerary planning this, if you want to overnight at the falls in the hammock, would be 3 full days. Is that what we're saying? Or would you need 4 days?
From Caracas, you could do it in 3 days, 2 nights. One night at the park headquarters and 1 night camping.
Mm-hmm. And then get back late.
Probably 3 nights
on
better.
That third day.
Yeah, because when you come back from Angel Falls, you may want to overnight at the park headquarters again. And the park headquarters also, there are lots of other falls closer to the park headquarters and trails to explore as well.
Oh, that's a good option, isn't it? So the next day, you can spend that day on trails, see another fall.
Yes.
And get a later flight. That's a good idea.
Puerto Ordaz is an interesting city. I mean, it's an industrial city on the Orinoco River. I think it's the third largest city in Venezuela.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a tourist city at all, but it was whoever designed the city was enamored of 1950s style suburban American architecture. You can drive down the street and you see houses with lawns and picket fences.
Wow.
And it really looks like something out of a 1950s TV show.
Like going to Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah, it's a wealthy city. There's a lot of mining. There's a mall there that's the largest mall in South America. It's in the middle of nowhere. It's quite an amazing city to go visit, just from the point of view of seeing something that nobody's heard of before.
Yeah, it sounds very unique.
Yeah. Would you recommend doing that, staying an extra night there, so I have one full day there?
I recommend a night in Puerto Ordaz if, you know, you're interested in, again, seeing a city that nobody would ever think of wanting to go to, but when you're there, it's actually quite pleasant. It's on the Orinoco River, which is a huge river. There's dams and waterfalls, and it's a thriving, bustling Venezuelan city. It's very far from the sort of the politics and the crime and the troubles in Caracas. And it's actually a pleasant city to see how normal people live in Venezuela.
Well, Nathaniel, is there anything else you think our listeners might want to know about visiting Angel Falls?
Well, the falls is, you know, as we said, a couple, 2-3 days out of your trip to Venezuela. Venezuela is a vast country. It's got Andean snow-capped mountains. It's got the largest lake in South America. The falls originate from a region called the Grand Savanna, and these tepuis, which are these flat mountain-topped sort of plateaus, and that whole region, to explore that would take longer. It's hard to get to, but that's worth exploring. You've got plant life up there, which plants that are related to plants in Madagascar.
Really?
Because those tepuis were sort of isolated over a billion years ago when Africa and South America were together. So Madagascar and those tops of those tepuis have remained isolated for tens of millions of years.
Wow.
And they're actually related to each other. So there's the diversity up on those tops of those tepuis are supposedly as diverse as places like the Galapagos or Madagascar. It's a fabulous place to explore if you have another week or so.
Well, Nathaniel, we want to thank you very, very much again for being our guest.
Yeah, thanks. Back
at the show.
I hope that because of your show, we've inspired some people to go visit Venezuela and the highest waterfall in the world.
Would you like to tell people how they can contact Cox & Kings USA?
The best way is our website, which is coxandkingsusa.com, coxandkingsusa.com, and to look at our South America programs. We don't have any set departures or set information on Venezuela, but if any listeners were to email us from our website, we'd be happy to talk about travel to Venezuela.
Well, thank you again very much, Nathaniel, and we would love to have you back on.
It's been a pleasure, and thank you both.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoyed the show. Be sure to listen to other great travel advice shows with Chris and Jerry at www.traveladviceshow.com